What's up, everybody? This is Rob English, your SoCal Seahawk, and thank you for joining me on this first episode of Short Yardage for the 2022 season. We are two games in to 2022, and we have been hit with a high and hit with a very low. We're gonna see how well we can keep this going this season. Last year we got on and had a couple episodes, and then it kind of fell off. I'm gonna do better this time around. Try to stay consistent and get you guys some good stuff to listen to, or just hearing me windbag for 30 to 45 minutes or so, if I can, you know, keep it going that long. But as I said, yes, we are two games into the 2022 season, and we had a high and then we had a low. We opened up on Monday Night Football against the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. And a lot of the talk leading into that game, you know, Denver's supposed to be a contender now with all they needed was a quarterback. And without a quarterback, without Russell Wilson, Seattle was going to be nothing. I find it very strange that there's a level of hypocrisy when it comes to the conversation around Russell Wilson with relation to the Seahawks, because no one really wants to give Russell Wilson his due. When he's wearing blue and green, you know, suggesting that he isn't really this and he isn't really that, and he's got not good enough to do this and not good enough to do that, despite the record books, despite what's written in the record books, right? Russell's never really gotten a fair shake. But as soon as he leaves the team, we are immediately just. I mean, we're dog food, right? There's just no chance in hell that the Seattle Seahawks team is going to be able to be competitive without this guy that no one thinks is any good anyway, right? Or at least what they like to say. So a level of hypocrisy there, with the, you know, all of the you know, the YouTubers and the Facebookers and the tweeters. The commenters, those are the ones. So many comments. There's going to be a new segment of the show where I'm going to go onto various social media platforms, and I'm going to just go through comments and add commentary on those because it's fun. I have an addiction. I probably need counseling or an intervention to get me off of this, but I have an addiction to getting on the internet, on any given social media platform, and arguing with people who I don't know about things that have very little to do with either myself or the people in the threads. Because so far as I know, not myself nor anyone who I argue with works for the Seattle Seahawks or any other NFL organization. But we're fans, and I can appreciate that. And I stand on my high horse when I have these conversations because I have the ability to engage in discourse without stooping to the level of calling names and ridiculing people. And so I see how... usually anyway. And then I see how people, most people can't go more than one or two comments without, you know, throwing jabs, and just being mean. And I find it funny. I find it very funny. But anyway, Monday Night Football, Denver Broncos, Russell Wilson's back in the house. A game that led us to believe that maybe the Seahawks team was going to be better than anybody thought. Geno Smith came out in the first half he played great. He played great. I think he had like one incompletion or a couple incompletions the whole first half. He only had five incompletions on the whole day or something like that. It was a masterful first half. Second half, tapered off sharply. Either way, the team moved the ball. We ran the ball well. Geno found space, and we put points on the board. Second half, we didn't do much of anything. Did just enough to win the football game. But it was more than what we expected. The argument, though, with many from the Monday night game against Denver was the defense. People truly believed that the Seahawks played great defense on Monday night. And that really baffles me. That really baffles me. It really bothers me because it really shows that a lot of people don't know that much about football. Just because your team, only gave up 16 points to a team that's supposed to have a prolific offense, doesn't mean that you played great defense. Just because you made some stops in the red zone or some great goal line stands does not mean that you have a great defense. Seattle was the fortunate beneficiary of a series of unfortunate events for the Broncos. From the penalties to the fumbles. The fumbles, I don't believe either of the two fumbles were truly punched out. The way the player was hit, it just happened to hit on the ball the right way. Ball comes out, what have you. It wasn't that, like anybody did a peanut punch. If anybody who knows what that is, all right? Peanut Tillman, Chicago Bears, was very famous for punching the ball out of the hands of receivers and ball carriers alike. But yeah, that wasn't the case, right? These guys just put the ball on the ground. Denver beat themselves in week one on Monday night. That was really the story. Seattle gave up over 430 yards on defense. Russell Wilson threw for 340 something, I believe. We gave up over 5 yards a carry against the rush. That's not good defense. If every single time your opponent has the ball, they are able to march right down the field, no matter where they start, right into your red zone, right inside your 10-yard line, all the way up to the goal line, you're not a good defensive team. That's just a fact. And those numbers bear out. I got into it with a gentleman on Facebook about this. A guy on Facebook, his name is Jeremy. Is it tacky to drop names? Yeah, whatever. I'm not getting paid for this. If I ever make money for this, and because I want to engage. I want to engage the groups. A lot of my activity is in these Facebook groups, and I want to involve the Facebook groups that I'm a part of in this podcast. I'd like to, get my commentary from this podcast really woven into these groups that I'm in on Facebook, and get conversation started around it. So I'm going to drop names, no offense intended, but Jeremy will know who he is. Jeremy, he doesn't value statistics, right? Now, I don't know how much Jeremy knows about football, or if he's ever played, or if he's a next gen stats type of guy. Well, he's definitely not a next gen stats type of guy. Next gen stat. Is it me or is it the sentence? Next gen stats type of guy. He's definitely not that. Jeremy says that stats don't matter. All that matters is wins. All that matters is the score. Well, I mean, of course, if you're talking about winning and losing, ultimately, yes, the score is all that matters. But I had a hell of a time trying to get Jeremy to understand that the reason that stats are tracked for a reason. There's a direct correlation between the numbers that are tracked statistically and the outcome of football games. There's a direct correlation, and he just refused to accept this. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't understand, like, you know, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times a team gets down in your red zone if you don't let him in the end zone. Well, it doesn't, except for that it does, Jeremy. The worst team in football last season was the Houston Texans in terms of red zone scoring percentage. They scored, I think it was 51.4%. that they got in the end zone once they reached the red zone. That's very poor. That's very poor for, you know, for the, I mean, that's the worst in the NFL. But even that is over half. So that means that the worst teams in football still score at the very least once out of every two times they reach the red zone. Every other time they reach the red zone, they score. Denver got down inside of our 10-yard line three times, and we made three stops just based on the law of averages, the numbers, the percentages. That should not have happened. They should have scored at least once on those three times, those three red zone trips. They should score at least once, even if it was a field goal. Even if they would have gotten the bare minimum out of just one of those red zone trips, we lose that game. And that's what the statistics say. And the statistics are there. And over the course of a 17-game season, those stats will bear out. But no matter how many times I tried to explain to this guy, he just wouldn't get it. He just wouldn't get it. Everybody wants to think that the Seahawks played great defense. Well, the Seahawks didn't play great defense, right? And I said this in the group, the Facebook group. It's called Seattle Seahawks. I said this in the group. You guys are going to see that this is not a sustainable model. This current situation in Seattle, specifically the defensive situation, is not a sustainable model. This bend but don't break is the word I keep hearing from people. Bend but don't break. Bend but don't break. This is not bend but don't break. Bend but don't break doesn't mean let them walk all the way down and put your back up against your goal line every single time they have the ball and then hope to make a stop. That's not bend but don't break. See, what happens is we talk about the Legion of Boom days and things like that, and the phrase bend but don't break was thrown around back then, and people misconstrue what these terminologies really mean, what they are. Right? Bend but don't break does not mean let the team get all the way down inside your 10-yard line every single time they have the ball and then think you're going to make a stop. That is not what it means. Bend but don't break means you give up a few yards, you know, in the middle of the field, but you make a stop that's actually going to be that's actually challenging to the other team. You're making stops, you know, after they've crossed midfield and maybe just inside the 20. You're forcing field goals from distance. But they're not getting down close to scoring range regularly. That's not bend but don't break. If they're getting down there regularly, you are just you're all but breaking, because if they get that close, they're going to score. The numbers say so. So yeah, and we saw that on Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. We saw the chickens came home to roost, if you will. Right, everybody was so high on the defense on Monday night, and then that same defense went out there on Sunday and the Niners walked all over us. Now, the difference there is that the offense did not have that early success like they did on Monday against Denver. That first half success didn't show up. But people want to say, oh, no, the defense played fine. It's because the offense didn't help. Well, sure. Offense gave us no help. We didn't score one offensive point in this game. The only score that we got was on a blocked field goal. Sad day in football. Sad day in football. But you must still recognize that, yeah, while the offense was ultimately unproductive, it's still their job to make a stop, which they didn't. They still were unable to make stops. I saw missed tackles, blown coverages, a continuation of what we saw last week. Kobe Bryant, for all of the praise he was getting in training camp, is getting worked out there on that field. They're getting worked. Now I understand we have rookies out there. We have a young team that is going to need time to gel. I get it. I understand all of that. But we must stop with this rose-colored glasses, speak that I keep hearing and reading. You know, people say that I'm not a real fan when I speak these truths. It's like, nah, don't, like, give me a break, right? I'm born and raised in Bremerton, okay? I took the ferry across. We used to have season tickets in the Kingdome. Took the ferry across and walked, got off the ferry and got McDonald's when the McDonald's was just right underneath the ferry terminal way back in the 90s. Like, some of you so-called Seahawks fans don't even know about what that ferry terminal used to look like. It's nothing like it used to be. The McDonald's right underneath the ferry terminal. Go down there, get your McDonald's, and then walk to the Kingdome. In the earlier days, hiked all the way up to the 300 level of the Kingdome just to watch the Seahawks lose every Sunday. That's where I come from. So I have been there when this team was no good, and have been there all the way up to where this team was one of the best, was the best team in football. You know, and now the wave has broken and rolling back. And we have to understand that we have to be objective here. We have to be objective. Give Geno a chance, sure, but he's not Russell Wilson. He is the guy that we all know him to be. In his 10 years in the league, he's never been anything more than a guy who ends up back on the bench. Now you look, you see, oh, put Drew Lock in there. People, isn't it just common sense that if Drew Lock was the way to go, Drew Lock would be on the field? Are we really suggesting, while we're in between, while we're on break at work, or in between, TV shows, sitting on our couch, right, or in between yelling at our kids, in between dealing with the wife or the husband, in between dinner, lunch, whatever. Get back to the point, Robert. Is it really realistic that we, as these fans, average or otherwise, know better than the guys who are paid millions of dollars to go out there and actually make these decisions? You really think that those guys went through a whole training camp and Pete Carroll and Shane Waldron and even John Schneider looked at all the data and then made the wrong decision on Drew Lock and Geno Smith? Sure, we're picking our poison or the lesser of two evils, however you want to call it. But do you really think they made the wrong decision? Come on, give me a break. Get off your high horse. Like, who do you think you are suggesting that these guys don't know what they're doing? They're getting paid a whole lot of money to make these decisions. But what people do is they look at the outcome and they go, oh, see, this is why you should have did this. This is why you should have did that. Like, oh my goodness. Come on. Come on. So bright spots in the Seahawks roster so far. We've got Boye Mafe and Uchenna Nwosu. Hope I'm saying the name right. Have looked strong. Who else we have? Michael Jackson did had a great swoop or scoop and score. I think he got beat on Sunday against the Niners though, but you know, again, guys that are ultimately unproven. Tariq Woolen is a very fast guy. Hopefully they'll be able to turn that speed into some sort of danger out there in the secondary. And that's basically it. The quarterback play hasn't been terrible. Like I said, ultimately it was ineffective today. The whole offense was ineffective today. But the first half of the Denver game was certainly positive. And he's taking care of the football with the exception of that one pick he threw today. That was, speaking of picks, I mean, DJ Dallas, I understand that you're not a quarterback. All right, DJ Dallas is not a quarterback. I get it. But how does he throw that football? I mean, when the receiver was open, and I know he's not a quarterback. He's not a quarterback. But this play had to have been practiced multiple times for them to even think to run it in this situation. And he just, it was like, I don't know if he just overthought it and didn't want to overshoot. But damn it. Like, throw it into the expensive seats rather than throw it like that. I mean, it was almost like his arm went numb and he threw it right to the guy. It was unbelievable because I thought we were going to score. When I watched that play come together, I was like, that's a touchdown. And then he just threw it right to the defender. That was crazy. And the thing about that is it looks really stupid. When you run a play like that and the worst possible outcome happens, it makes the play look very stupid. It makes the play caller look very stupid. It's like, what are you doing? Like, why would you call that, right? But if it had scored, it would have been the smartest thing in the world. Should I say it? Yeah, I'll say it. It goes back to the Super Bowl against New England, right? Everybody said give the ball to Lynch, but they ran stacked the receivers on the right side and ran that rub. And what's the defender's name? Whatever his name is. Christ, what's his name? Butler. Malcolm Butler jumped the route. Right? That would have been a genius play call if the positive outcome happened. But the negative outcome happened. And so it was deemed the dumbest play ever. It wasn't a dumb play. It was actually a really smart play. But, you know, we always just focus on the after. And we consider the end result, and we throw away all the details that led to what ultimately resulted. And so the same thing on Sunday against San Francisco, we run that halfback pass, and it would have been great. It would have been awesome. That play probably works 8 times out of 10 if you run it. But DJ Dallas is not a quarterback, so I don't think we need to worry about him entering into the quarterback carousel anytime soon. But anyway, Geno's interception was kind of a force. He didn't put enough under it. For that ball to get to where it needed to go, he couldn't have put really any more air under it. I suppose he could have. Did a little bit more of a not a Russell Wilson moon ball, but he could have put some arch on to drop it into Tyler. But that ball needed to get there fast, and at the velocity that ball was traveling, there is no way that it can be higher, and still get into Tyler Lockett's hands. So that pass was doomed from the moment it left Geno's hands. And so that I think that falls on Geno for sure. But hey, one pick. He's been, you know, more or less, you know, very careful. So, but it, yeah, Sunday was a rough one. We don't like losing to the 49ers. If there's any team we don't like losing to, it's the 49ers, even more than the Cardinals, even more than the Rams. We do not like losing to the 49ers. And, you know, I was one of those ones who even said it, you know, albeit, you know, for comedic value, if we beat Russell and sweep the Niners, the season, you know, is good enough. But that didn't happen. And it's not going to happen. And now we get to get ready to go play. Who we got next? Is it Atlanta that we play next? Or is it the Lions? Atlanta. We got Atlanta. Atlanta played some decent football today. They, you know, didn't start off the game very well, but came back strong against the Rams and made it a competitive game. I think teams that are high powered are going to, Seattle's going to have a hard time with teams that have the ability to be high powered in any way whatsoever. So I'm very interested to see what happens against the Falcons. Marcus Mariota is a quarterback who can move around. We didn't fare very well early against the Niners when Trey Lance was on. How about what's his name? Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo. Coming into the game and just mopping us up. I actually have been of the opinion that the Niners were a worse team with Trey Lance. And when he got hurt and Garoppolo came in, I'm like, okay, the Niners are better with Garoppolo. But with Garoppolo, you know, not taking the snaps with the ones, maybe this is going to be, you know, maybe there's a chance that he's going to be rusty with this offense. Wasn't the case. But alternatively, and also, but also still negatively, we weren't faring well against Trey Lance either. Trey Lance was running the ball well against us before he went out. I think this is going to be a long day regardless of what quarterback was taking snaps for the Niners. And now next week we got Marcus Mariota, who also knows how to get around. He did throw two picks today, but one of them was by Jalen Ramsey, who is a better corner than all of our current defensive backs put together probably. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson, who can run a little bit. And they've got some decent guys on the receiving end. Kind of a who's who, but guys who can make plays. So that's going to be an interesting game as well. But we'll talk about that later. Let's go to the comments. Let's see some comments here. Let's take a look at what people think about the Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks Facebook group. Public group. 32,800 members. What's everybody saying today? I guess Geno did indeed write back. Welcome to the real Hawks from David Alexander. Yeah? Yeah? Welcome to the real Hawks. I think this might be the real Hawks. At least the Hawks, the real Hawks for the moment. Can they get better? Possibly. Devin Gutierrez. Here we go with your typical under the weather fans. Under the weather? Under the weather. Is that the same thing as fair weather? I don't know. I've never really heard under the weather fans. Please tell me you're not serious saying all this is Geno's fault. Penalties, missed tackles, rookies making many mistakes, and DJ Dallas throwing like he throwing to a 7-year-old. Facts. Geno threw his first INT, which wasn't really his fault. The defensive dude had good visions. His only mistake is two stupid pocket sacks. Geno threw dots today. Come on, bruh. Yeah. Again, I don't know what Under the Weather fans are, but it's certainly fans who want to say things without really speaking out of ignorance, right? About football. Absolutely right about penalties. I mean, last week was Denver. It was Denver and all their penalties. This week it was us. Just undisciplined football. Rookies made a lot of mistakes today. DJ Dallas did indeed throw the ball like he was throwing to a 7-year-old. Again, I still don't understand how that happened. I think the interception was Geno's fault. I think he pressed on that one. So I'm not letting him off the hook for that pick. But yeah. Here's something that comes up a lot. Do we tank? What is the deal with tanking, right? Like, if I really knew that my team had decided to tank the season and just, go for that draft pick. And I know that they talk, there's always a couple of teams at the bottom of the barrel. And, you know, even in the media, they'll say, well, why did this team mess around and win this game? You know, all they did was screw up their draft, you know, their draft placement. And I get it, but I don't know. If I knew for a fact that the team was going to tank the season, I wouldn't even watch. I just wouldn't watch. Like, I go into every single game expecting my team to play like they want to win. And play like they have a chance to win. That's actually one thing I saw today. I saw dejected players on that field. I saw players that, and I think it was very obvious in the way that guys weren't running to the football as the game got long, missed tackles. It just, you know, that last drive of the Niners where they just ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball. That was a team that just already knew that the game was over and you know, they didn't have it in them any longer. I hope we're not going to be that team, the team that tanks. I really feel, Jim Dillinger, I really feel bad for the D, man. Almost 40 minutes in the field. How are they supposed to keep up with that? Maybe it's time for Drew to try. There's the Drew Lock talk. Yeah, the defense had a tough go today. But hey, if the here's the thing. How about the defense make a stop at some point before the 15, 10 yard line? How about we force them to punt from their own, you know, 20 something yard line and get some good field position? How about give Geno something to work with? You know, people forget that about the LOB. We were stopping teams a lot and getting good field position. Good field position. And then Russell didn't have so far to go to go out there and do all the stuff that he did. You know, those early LOB days. Give Drew a try. Hey, you know what? If I know this, if Drew Lock gets into the game, I know Seattle's giving up on the season. Like, when your choices at quarterback are Drew Lock and Geno Smith, and you bench Geno Smith for Drew Lock, you know you're not trying to win. Like, with Geno Smith on the field, at least it gives off the impression that you're like, okay, let's take the very best that we have to offer, regardless of how good it is or isn't. It's the best that we have. Let's put it out there and see if we can make something happen. Maybe get a little lucky. Right? That's what I see by playing Geno Smith. You take Geno Smith out and you put Drew Lock on there, you're saying, you know what? Hell with it. So that's how I'll know that the Seahawks are tanking. When Drew Lock gets out there. This might be a trolling comment. Great game, Coach and Geno. You guys looked real sharp today. That's gotta be a troll. A joke, right? Niners were clearly the better team today. Yep, that's the truth. How much time we got left here? I got a couple more minutes here. Let's see if we can find some comments from last week. The comments were really interesting last week. So here's Jeremy last week. After I made a post about how the defense was just not good. The defense is just not good. Jeremy says, we held Russell Wilson and his high-powered offense at 16 points in a loss. How was that not good? Caused two fumbles at the goal line where they were supposed to score twice. You know what your problem is? You like Russell Wilson. Think stats wins a game. That's what he said to me in response. And, you know, then we got into a whole thing about stats, about how stats actually matter. If you don't think stats matter, see, it's the average football fan, right? That's what it is. It's the average football fan. And you hear little things that they say on TV, and you put that in your pocket, and you call yourself knowledgeable because you know these little blurbs, and you know these little sayings and these little phrases. Stats, of course they matter. Stats are what get players paid. If stats didn't matter, they wouldn't be tracked. It's really quite simple. I mean, it's not rocket surgery, right? It's very simple. It's the kind of fan that doesn't know why a team would throw the ball deep on third and short. That's the fan I'm talking about. The fan that doesn't understand why you throw the ball deep on third and short, or even better, the fan that doesn't understand why you run the draw play or a bubble screen on third and long. Like, if you don't understand why you do these things, then you just don't know football. Anyone in this, and you know, I'm not saying any names right now. Anyone, if you're listening to this, if you don't understand why a team throws the ball deep on third and short, or runs the football on third and a mile, or throws the quick screen on third and a mile, then you don't understand football. That's just a fact. And not on this episode, but maybe in a later episode, I'll actually go ahead and explain the reason behind those supposed actions, if we had more time. But we don't, because I have bellyached enough. I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. I'm going to try and keep this going all season long. Please like and subscribe. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Podbean, and I will make sure that this podcast gets into all the groups, because I am going to engage you all from the groups. Hopefully this will be fun. Atlanta Falcons next week. Hopefully we can put on a better show than we did on Sunday. This is Rob English, your SoCal Seahawks, signing off. Go Hawks!